Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Jesus appears to his disciples. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts rise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Then he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Fear can make us, can make our worlds feel very small. Our therapists in the congregation could say so much more about this, but my basic understanding is that we have a fight, flight, or freeze response to fear. At times, powered by the rush of adrenaline, we might fight to try to overcome the source of our fear. At other times, we might use that energy to escape the source of our fear, moving as fast as we possibly can in the opposite direction. And still at other times, when fight or flight doesn't seem like a realistic option, our systems may freeze, slowing everything down and protecting us temporarily from the magnitude of the threat at hand. In these weeks after Easter, our scripture passages focus on the lives of the disciples in the aftermath of Jesus' death. Fear, angst, unsettled energy had to be running rampant through them and that community. I imagine it was pervasive, palpable. And I think about the disciples in this particular passage, all holed up and huddled together in a little house. It seems as if that fear might have made them feel a bit frozen, paralyzed, deflated, small. In the midst of all that, Jesus appeared with his classic greeting, "Peace be with you." And we might find ourselves scratching our heads saying, "Really? Peace? This is just about the polar opposite of a peaceful situation as you can get. Peace be with you?" Not only had they been through all they'd been through, losing their leader, their friend, to execution, not only had they heard confusing rumors of Jesus popping up here and there to people they knew, now Jesus was appearing in their midst, a ghost perhaps, an apparition, not a welcome sight in the ancient world. Peace be with you? Peace must have felt like the farthest thing from their hearts and minds. And yet that's the greeting Jesus chose as he came into their midst, perhaps because he knew it was the very thing that was most absent, that was needed the most. And the truth is that divine peace is not an absence of conflict or struggle or distress. It doesn't indicate that easy breezy times have arrived, that happy days are here again. Rather, divine peace, shalom, is a sense of well-being, wholeness, completeness, despite the circumstances we may find ourselves in. Some time ago, someone gave me a magnet that says, peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. I keep it on my refrigerator. It seems worth a read every day. So Jesus came into the midst of his disciples, fear, anxiety, distress, and said, peace, peace be with you. According to the scripture, the disciples were startled and terrified, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And while we may not welcome ghostly appearances with open arms either, the ancient world was especially unwelcoming of them. The appearance of a ghost in that day and age meant that something had gone terribly wrong. Something had gone off the rails, and someone didn't get to where they were supposed to go for some very problematic reason. Ghosts were unnatural, and as history moved forward, became linked with the demonic. So the disciples were understandably afraid. And what Jesus did, in addition to speaking words of peace into their midst, was to orient them to his physical being. He went about proving to them that he wasn't a ghost at all. He was Jesus, their friend, their leader, in the flesh, with hands and feet. He invited them to touch him, saying that a ghost wouldn't have flesh and bones that they could reach out and touch. The scripture says that the disciples were filled with joy and disbelief and wonder. And who can blame them? I'm sure they didn't know what to think, how to feel. But then to double down on his in the flesh point, Jesus did something dear. He asked for a snack. It's so wonderfully ordinary. In the midst of this unbelievable moment, Jesus munches on some leftover broiled fish. Ordinary on the one hand, yes, especially to those of us who enjoy a snack, but extraordinary on another, as Jesus again shows his disciples that he's not in any way a spirit in some disembodied state. No, Jesus makes it clear that he's the Holy One who entered the world in flesh and blood in the incarnation, who lived fully as a human being, who died a physical death on the cross, and who then moved through death and out the other side, raised not only in energy or spirit, but in flesh and blood and bone. And Jesus did this not just to soothe and reassure his troubled friends. He did it not only to bring peace in the midst of their noise and trouble. He did it to prepare them for the next thing. Because this point about Jesus being raised in the flesh solidified the entire Christian movement. Had Jesus visited as a spirit, this movement would have never gathered the energy to move forward in the way that it did. Jesus might have just been remembered as someone who died a shameful death on a cross and whose spirit visited those he loved after his death. But as it was, in light of the bodily resurrection of Christ, in light of the disciples bearing witness to that bodily resurrection, the movement continued on. The disciples, now key players in the transmission of this good news for the sake of the transformation of the world. I confess that this is my projection onto the scene, but I can almost feel an opening up, an expansion in their constricted, small, fearful space. I can almost feel the deeper breath return to the disciples' lungs as they spent this time with Jesus. Jesus then, we're told, went back and reviewed Scripture with them. Our text says that he opened their minds to understand it. And the truth is, minds can't be opened when trapped in fear. Jesus couldn't have walked into the room and done this right off the bat. Jesus soothed their fears and then brought them back to the Scripture they knew, the Scripture that had patterned and informed their entire lives, opening their minds to see and understand it in perhaps a new way. And I love that notion. It shows up in other places in the Bible as well, that we absorb and understand Scripture in stages throughout our lives. We don't read it one time and get it all, but we become open to its meaning, its truth, in different ways and at different points in our lives, perhaps because we are ready to absorb it given new life experiences and perspectives, and perhaps because something holy outside of us opens us to a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding. Regardless, Jesus brought them back to Scripture, allowing them to catch something that they couldn't quite catch the first or maybe second or even third time around. And what they caught, I believe, was cohesiveness, an understanding of the bigger picture, how it all worked together. Jesus walked them back through the whole story of the people of Israel. He repeated words he had said many times in the past about the Messiah who would suffer, die, and then rise from the dead. Words that the disciples had rejected, had balked at in the past. But this time their minds were open to see Jesus's place in that, to understand his place in the big picture, in the greater story. And in understanding Jesus's place, they also had a growing understanding of their place in the story as well. Because Jesus finished his Scripture 101 review by saying, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And you are the witnesses of these things." And really, the disciples were transformed by this moment. They had struggled at times. They had doubted. They had failed. They had turned away. But when Jesus opened their minds to this bigger picture, where and how Jesus fit in and where and how they fit in, they were transformed. And this little movement that could have so easily fallen apart in those days of grief and fear and angst was enlivened and energized and moved forward to change the world with good news of healing, forgiveness, peace, love, justice, hope. And all of this might and should leave us wondering about just who all Jesus meant when Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. Jesus was clearly speaking to his disciples, his followers, his community, making it clear that they had an important role in the transmission and telling of this story. Those disciples way back when were firsthand witnesses of all that transpired from the ministry to the death to the resurrection of Jesus. But is it possible, do you think, that Jesus also means you, as in me, as in us? Is his you that broad? Does it reach us with some expectation or mandate or invitation? How do we, disciples, followers in this day and age, fit into the larger story? Because the story is still unfolding. We are living in the midst of it. The kingdom or kingdom may be coming, but clearly it hasn't entirely arrived yet. Undeniably, there's all kinds of struggle and strife, violence and misunderstanding and despair that runs rampant in our world. Some could and would and do look around heavy, laden with fear and anxiety, and say, how can you talk about God? How can you talk about peace? Look around. How can you talk about justice? How can you talk about love? And I get it, because when we're constricted by fear, our view, our vision is also constricted. Fear can make us, can make our worlds feel very small. And it makes me think that Jesus's you does include us, me, you too. Because the world still needs witnesses. Our world today needs witnesses, those who can hold the bigger picture and share the story of God's love that was, that is so profound, so extreme, that it came to us in flesh and blood to save us all. So how are we witnesses? What does that mean? How do we hold and tell the story in this day and age? We do that in corporate ways, of course, as a community of faith. We share scripture, we study the word, we sing the songs, we partake in the sacraments, we tell and share the story in all kinds of different ways. But we also, I believe, are called to give expression to that witness in individual, personal ways as well. So how are we witnesses? How am I a witness? How are you a witness? That's something that each one of us may spend a lifetime exploring and figuring out. But I trust, I know, that all of us, in our own voice, and from the context of our own stories, can bear witness to the love of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, and the grace of God as we've known it in our lives. All of us, in our own voice, from the context of our own stories, can help hold the bigger picture, a picture that doesn't deny the suffering that is still very real among us, but that holds fast to and proclaims the holy power of life and love that has overcome, that is overcoming, that will overcome all that appears to diminish or threaten it. Thanks be to God, the one who invites us to find and live into our place in this beautiful, complex, life-saving, life-giving story. Amen. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, as we gather our hearts and spirits together in this time of prayer, we, your people, are filled once again with joy and disbelief and wonder. Our lives are rich and complicated, challenging and beautiful. We are such a mixed bag of experiences and emotions, hopes and fears and dreams. We are mindful that you created us in all of this complexity, and we trust that the power of your love is our constant, and that you love us where we are and how we are in this very minute, on this very day. We are grateful for that and for so much more. We are grateful for the people who shine in our lives with the light of you, the people who bring us peace, laughter, play, challenge, shelter, refuge, belonging, joy. We are grateful for the extraordinary beauty that is all around us in our natural world. Mindful of upcoming Earth Day, we give thanks for this glorious earth and pray that we would honor in deed and word and policy the deep connections and interdependence between all components of creation that pulse with life, life created, given, and sustained by you. Our hearts are inclined with yours to those who are struggling and in need. We pray for those who are enduring trials of any kind. We lift up beloveds who are preparing for surgery, undergoing treatment, or living with chronic conditions that add layers of challenge to life each and every day. We pray for healing, for strength, for peace, for encouragement that tends to body and spirit. Meet us, O God, in places of personal or communal fear. Help us to know your peace, even in the midst of turmoil. Open our minds, lift our eyes, help us to see your bigger picture, and give us insight and courage to find our unique places within that story. Thank you for using us, sometimes joyful, sometimes disbelieving, often wonder-filled us, in your work of love, justice, peace, and reconciliation. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.